And so oftentimes, freedom comes from structure, not from chaos.
Freedom! Freedom!
I can just see, I'm picturing you right now with the makeup on the horse. They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom.
Welcome to the Fitpreneurs, the show that will help you flex your business muscles so you can make more money and live the life you really want. No more complaining, whining, or being a wimp. It's time to pump up your fitness business and push yourself beyond your comfort zone. So no girly men or lazy ladies allowed. It's time for me to do some push-ups and turn things over to my friends AJ Roberts and Simon Lovell. Hasta la vista.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Fitpreneurs. Today we're going to be talking about eliminating distractions and time vampires that suck you dry. On the call with me today is my ever beautiful Simon Lovell.
It is blowing a gale here in Bath. You may be able to pick it up. I don't know whether the mic is going to be picking up this wind that's coming in. It's been quite sunny, but over the past week it's been crazy. It's maybe going to distract me through in this episode, but we'll see.
what a perfect thing. You have a distraction on the episode about distraction.
I didn't actually realize that, but yes, I do. I have a distraction. Guys, we love your responses. We love your feedback. In fact, me and AJ were just having a look at the stats for the Fitpreneurs and the growth that we've had, and it's fantastic. We've got 3 listeners. We've been doing this for 24 episodes now, and there's just 3 of you listening to this, so this is awesome. No, in all seriousness, we love having you listen. If you could go to iTunes and subscribe, we go in there daily. We're like you. We have this procrastination, which we're going to talk about today. And part of that is being in iTunes, checking out your reviews. So please, while you're listening to this, just head over to your computer and just click that 5-star review and just type in a few words. It might be completely random. It might be showing a bit of love for AJ or a bit of banter for me. Whatever, we want to hear from you. Also, head to the website, thefitpreneurs.com, where you can subscribe. Make sure that you get updated with all the latest episodes so you don't miss one, just in case you don't subscribe. So we've got you from every single angle.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, a lot of people don't listen through iTunes. They actually listen via the web. So, you know, you want to be on both places, and makes us feel better too, as it bumps our numbers a little bit. So before we get into today's episode, Simon, let's catch up. Like we always do on every episode, share a little bit of our personal lives with everyone. So I know that you've taken some big steps here recently, and why don't you share about that?
Well, my application has gone in to move to San Diego, so my visa is in. So all I need, if I get approved in the next 2 to 3 weeks, is a wife. So we've discussed this on previous episodes. If there's any particularly hot, fit females around the San Diego area, then I will be conducting interviews around my birthday period when I have my my mastermind, and I will be offering $500 cash for a marriage. So yeah, that's that.
So the Thai wife's already divorced you?
Yeah, the lady boy's done. If you watch the last episode, there's a nice open loop for the last episode. If you watch the first video podcast of me in Thailand, you will see me and a very intimate encounter with the lady boy. But things didn't work out there, and she dunked me. So yeah.
Well, I'm glad you gave me a heads up. Now I can start looking for homes in Vegas and you know, exit this beautiful area before you get here and ruin it for me. So I'll start putting the process now.
In all seriousness, I'm very excited about making this move. I've been in Bath for a while now, but you can be in a really nice place, and the place I've got is fantastic, but you can also be in the wrong place. And so I'm very drawn to San Diego. Obviously, AJ being there has nothing to do with it, but I want to be in the sun, and I want to be in a different place, and so I'm drawn to it. So I'm excited. So I'm nervously waiting now for the reaction to find out whether I've been accepted or not. And then hopefully that'll be a year-long visa, and then I'll get my I'll marry in Vegas immediately as soon as I set foot over there, and I'll be all good.
Perfect.
My life is complete.
It's funny, you know, I moved to San Diego a few years ago after coming here pretty much every year since I was, junior in high school. And there's something about this place that it's hard to explain unless you come here, but it really, to me, it really is paradise. The moment you step off the plane, there's just a sense of calmness and a welcoming feeling that I've not gotten anywhere else. And as if you've been listening to the show for a while, you'll know I travel every single, I'm on the road nearly every single month, and I get to go to all these amazing places and meet amazing trainers and work with different gym owners. And I can tell you, there's nothing like getting back on that plane to come back to San Diego. You know, a lot of people are always trying to escape where they live. They're trying to go on vacation. And I'm on vacation 24/7 here. If I get a little stressed, if I get wound up, I can go for a walk on the beach. You know, I can go play in the ocean. I can, you know, take time out and really, you know, have a mini vacation whenever I choose to. And that's the beautiful thing about being here. And, you know, it's funny, I always said I wanted to retire here. And oddly enough, when I retired from powerlifting, this is where I ended up. So it's funny what you ask for, and you know, you got to be careful. The universe will deliver, but not always the way you expected. Luckily for me, it was a lot earlier than I expected, getting the opportunity to come out here and move here. And, you know, was given that opportunity when I came out to work with, you know, an internet marketer and help him with his marketing and running of his company. So, is awesome. But there's, if you've never been here, I highly encourage you to come here. And you know, we've got lots of friends that have moved here from different places, and it's really an amazing place. And you know, I'm not surprised that you took that leap and wanted to be here too, because you know, ever since I was young, to me this has been where I wanted to end up. And so it's cool that you know, my friends feel the same way and that they're on their way over here. And you know, it's going to be fun times.
Yeah, I want to talk about something actually based on the topic of today's episode, and also the decision to move to San Diego. For a long time, I was saying, you know, I'd like to do this, you know, I'd love to move to San Diego, but I wasn't decided, I wasn't committed to that outcome until I actually went away and I spent a couple of days at a hotel, and I actually decided like I was going to commit to it, and then the pieces of a jigsaw started to move into place. And so, guys, you know, if you want something or you want to do something, it can't be open-ended dream. It's got to be, I'm going to make that decision, commit to it, and then you start to put in places and reverse engineer how to get it. So there's a very big difference between I want to do this versus, you know, I want to do this versus I'm going to do this now and commit and set a time frame. So I sat down and went, look, I've been talking about San Diego for ages now. What's stopping me? Fear, you know, whatever it is. And I was like, no, I'm gonna make it work. And and ever since, the momentum grew, and that's how you grow momentum. And today's episode is about eliminating distractions. I actually think that a big thing for a lot of people, you know, the reason why we have a lot of distractions and we procrastinate and don't do things is because, you know, sometimes we're not happy where we are. That can be a big thing, right? And so we look at things to distract us, to take us away from really what we need to be doing. And so I'm sure that moving into a better place will have a big impact. I'm very public about the reason why I moved from Exeter to Bath was because I had a very destructive lifestyle. My cocaine story is very public on the blog and stuff. And I made a difficult decision. Had I not made that decision to move out of where I was and get into a new group of friends, I wouldn't be where I am now in my business. I wouldn't be doing this podcast. I'd be in a very, very different place. And so, you know, sometimes you've got to move. You've got to actually look at yourself and go, am I maybe doing what I love, but it's in the wrong place because the environment isn't supporting me? And that can affect the stuff that we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, that's funny you say about moving. You know, you moved to escape a situation, and now you're moving for an opportunity. I've moved 7 times in the last 13 years, all for opportunity. My first big leap was when I moved from England to America to go to high school and to play basketball and follow my dream there. And then obviously I went off to college, and then from college I moved from Idaho to Washington, where I was running a small gym there, which was failing. And I moved to Kentucky to run the personal training department and a health club, and I ended up running the health club. But I moved for opportunity there, and then I moved from there to Ohio to train at Westside Barbell to pursue my dream as to become a world record holder in powerlifting. And then once I had done that, I moved here to San Diego so that I could work with some of the top marketers in the world and further my skills in that, and really, you know, learn from the best and be around the best and be in an environment that, you know, surround myself with those that I basically wanted to, you know, have a life like and wanted to build a business like. And so, you know, a lot of people, if you're listening in and you're thinking, wow, Simon's very successful, AJ's very successful, I wish I could be like that too. One of the things you really should clue in on is our ability to just take action and take these huge leaps of faith. And yes, they're scary as hell. Trust me, every time I've moved, there's been huge fears, but you've got to just bust through those fears and really take that leap of faith. And I remember when we first spoke, Simon, about you moving out here, you know, you had all these stories in your head about how hard it would be and it wouldn't be possible. And you know, I was like, well, there's got to be a way. It can't be impossible.
Do you know one thing?
You should talk to a few people, and you did, and here we are.
Do you know one little thing, one little stupid thing, which may sound silly to a lot of people, which was sticking in my head, why it wasn't the reason why I didn't want to move forward, but was a big one, was learning to drive over there. Like, I hate driving in places like London. You know, I just get uncomfortable when I'm in a place where I don't know where the roads. And so for me, it was like, I've got to like drive on the other side of the road, and like, I want to get, I'm going to be open. And I'm like, Ferrari 458 black's happening when I move to San Diego. Like, I don't want to be crashing that damn thing when I move over there, right? And it's like, I'm going to have to get this, you know, this driver's license. I'm going to have to do all this stuff, and I want to have this nice car. And it's like, that was actually a part of like what was stopping me, like doing this stuff. And it was just like, Si, this is ridiculous. Like, you can get lessons, you can do all that, and that may seem silly to some, but it's incredible the little tiny things that can actually pull us away from having an incredible lifestyle that we could have.
Exactly. And I think that's what most people do, is they tell themselves stories and then they just waste time. And so talking of wasting time, let's move into today's meat and potatoes and really dig in into this topic of, you know, eliminating distractions and removing the time vampires. So, you know, I figured we'd kick things off with talking about kind of what our biggest weaknesses are, because what I've found is that, you know, even the best of the best struggle with time management. It's something that seems to be a constant focus for entrepreneurs to improve upon, and they're always looking for new ways to better utilize their time. And so, you know, I know a lot of people listening probably feel as if a lot of their life is chaotic and feel as if they run out of time too often, and they don't get the things done. But if we actually look at like our daily schedules, oftentimes we find hours upon hours that are wasted. And so we wanted to dive in and kind of give you guys some tools and some strategies in order to combat that, to move forward. But I didn't want to do that with you thinking that me and Simon are time masters, because I think our ability, we get a lot done, and we do a lot, and we manage our time well. But even talking to each other, I think we both could agree that there is areas that we still need to improve upon.
Oh, definitely. You know, I even two nights ago, not so bad last night, but I still find myself sucked in by the Facebook news feed up until very, very late in the evening. And it just draws me in, and I'm like, God, this is like half an hour gone. And because I do take so much action and do other stuff throughout the day, I get, you know, stuff done. And but I can see for a lot of people, but that can just be very constant. But yeah, I mean, the Facebook especially for a lot of us, a lot of the business is built on social media. And so it's kind of that excuse of, well, I need to be on it, but also it's zapping my time. And you can just find yourself going through this OCD loop, right? Which is, you know, you go from Facebook into your email, and then you check in your phone, and then you check in your PayPal, and then you do this. It's just like this rotation through the different things that you're doing. And then you've done like three cycles, and then you try and slap yourself and go, seriously, I actually need to like walk away for a moment. And it's actually, you know, I think they've done a lot of studies on this, on how much, you know, social media and stuff does create a real kind of problem for us. So this is something which I, to this day, struggle with more. But what I've done to try and combat that is really start and set out a new routine. I'm really working on the evening stuff at the moment, but I've got my morning routine pretty dialed in, especially this time of year now with all the kind of new goals and stuff that everyone's setting. I try to, you know, get and work on myself and get myself prepared for the day before I even look at any kind of social media or any work-based stuff. Because if you're not taking care of yourself before you've even started working, then you're checking your emails and replying to people before you've brushed your teeth, right? Then it's not the best way to do things. So yeah,
absolutely. And I think the thing that is that now that we have access to everything in our pocket, we find ourselves at times, or at least I do, is that when I have a break, like let's say I finished a time block or I'm working on something, or I go to the bathroom, or I'm eating my lunch or one of my meals, what I'll do is I'll start, you know, I'll say, oh, what's going on social media? And because I got my phone there, I'm able to go scroll through Facebook, scroll through Instagram. And like you said, you know, you could intend to just look at it quickly, but you end up just going between different places. And like you said, you're in that loop of check this, check this, check this. And the mind is like fixated on it. It's almost like an addiction where you're looking for something to break that pattern, but it's never there, right? It's the same stuff over and over and over again. And what's interesting is that, you know, people used to spend most of their time watching television, and now people spend most of their time on social media. And the reason for that is they're on social media nearly all day, and they're on social media even when they're watching TV. People are also distracted. They can't even watch a television show without checking their phone. Mm. People have, you know, if you ever go out to dinner with someone, where are the mobile phones? They're sitting on top of the table, right? They're not away in people's pockets. Like people, they have this, like, it's... Remember the is it Maslow's bell where they had the bell, they rung the bell, they fed, and then, you know, whenever they rang the bell, they would eat or something like that.
Pavlov's dogs, basically.
Yeah. There you go. That's the one. I'm glad you got it right. Save me on that.
It was painful listening to that.
I'm glad. But no, that study, right? And I feel as if that's the same thing with the phone. Like people, I've been with people who check their phone for a text message because they think they heard their phone go off, or they think they felt it vibrate in their pocket, right? We're so conditioned to respond with the noise. Like I'll do it. I'll have my, if I don't close my email, I'll see that little number go up and I'm like, oh, I got to check the email, see who it's from. Well, I don't. I'm working on something. I need to break that pattern.
In fact, it's funny you should mention, going out for meals and stuff. Something which I did just before Christmas started doing was that if we go out for a meal with our friends, I say to everyone, the phone goes down on the sofa, and we leave the phones on the sofa and we go out and have a meal. And that honestly is, we've had the best nights and everybody's agreed it's the best thing to do. So guys, if you're going out and having a meal with friends, suggest it. Like one person say, everyone leave their phones here. If you know that people are jumping on the phones all the time, and you'll have a great night out. It's just been fantastic to do that.
Yes, and especially if it's like close friends or loved ones, like, but being present is there's nothing like it. And if you've forgotten how to communicate, which I see a big problem now, like a lot of the times, like people pick their phones up in breaking communication, you know. And so if you need something to talk about all the other people that are on their phones around you. Start paying attention to that stuff. It's pretty interesting. When you're actually present and paying attention, what you'll notice versus when you've got your head down in your phone. And I'm, like I said, if my phone's with me, there's a good chance that I'm going to check it at some point. You got to leave the phones away and stuff like that.
In fact, let's pull the action, from the end of the episode to now. Just grab out a piece of paper and a pen. And I guarantee that many of you listeners aren't just listening to this. You're probably doing something else. See if you can stay present during this episode and have the pen and paper there next to you, and then notice the amounts of times you go to do something else. And you will be very, very surprised, many of you. If you're just, I find myself that sometimes I'm listening and wanting to do a training and going through and trying to learn something, and then instantly I'm off, or I'm checking my phone, I'm doing something else. Just use this episode as an exercise now to notice your body trying to pull you out away from full attention of this episode, and I think you'd be very surprised by the end. And actually message us on the Facebook page and let us know how many times that happened for you.
Yeah, great. So next I want to talk about is the $86,400 in your bank account story. I saw this YouTube video a while ago, and it really hits home the message. And so if listeners haven't watched that, you can search for that and watch it. But I'm going to repeat the story here, and I want you to listen and really pay attention. So, you know, if you woke up every single morning and you had $86,400 in your bank account, and it's added to your bank account every single day, the only rule is at the end of the day, whatever you don't spend disappears. All right. And so your goal every day is going to be to spend it. If it's there and it doesn't roll over, it disappears every single day. You're going to do everything in your power to make sure that you spend it and you buy things and that you get everything you want every single day. You're going to put the conscious thought into, how am I going to spend this money? All right. And so in reality, we're each given $86,400 a day, but what we're given it in is minutes. So we each have 86,400 minutes in a day to spend. And every single day, whether we choose to spend them wisely or not, they disappear. And so when you're growing your business, you have to think, am I spending my 86,400 minutes a day to move myself forward? And what am I wasting it on? You know, what am I throwing it away at? And a lot of times entrepreneurs will say they don't have time for this and they don't have time for that. And when we do an inventory check on what they spend their time on, a lot of the times they've got a lot of wasted minutes. And if they redirected the focus, they would have all the time in the world. And so that's something to think about in your day. Any time that you are doing something that isn't of value, or that isn't moving you forward, that doesn't serve you in a positive way, is to consciously think to yourselves, am I spending this time wisely? Because it's something you can't get back. Once it's gone, at the end of the day, it's gone. And the past is always remains in the past. So think about that. Think about, what are you currently doing that's wasting those minutes, wasting those hours? What are you currently doing that's wasting the days away? And start looking at ways that you can really change that, and start taking the actions and putting the habits into place in order to move forward.
I think a lot of the time we procrastinate because we're not really clear on what we need to do. And a lot of the time I find that trainers are overwhelmed with the choices that you have to have. And so there's always going to be a payoff. There's always something for us. There's always a payoff for us not doing what we need to do and sticking and doing something else because it fills some kind of need. So what you also need to do, if you do find yourself procrastinating for any length of time and not efficiently using your time, is to really sit there and just ask yourself, why am I now deciding to do this? And once you get to the deeper reason and you actually start to question why you're actually continuing to, you know, for example, be on social media and just entertain instead of act, right? Which is, you know, gain a stimulus. Because that's essentially what it is, right? Facebook is, you know, you go through the news feed, for example, and then you see a video you like, and then, you know, a cat dancing around a dog or something. And it's entertainment. It's giving you a feeling in the body. It's causing a reaction in your body, which makes you feel good, okay? So with that being said, it's a case of, is the stuff which you need to be doing giving you that feeling? And if it's not, okay, and if it's not giving you that feeling above what the social media is doing in terms of stimulating you, then that's what we need to start to rewire and look at in terms of, how do we make that more appealing for you?
Right. And I think that a lot of people just don't understand how valuable their time is, right? They don't know the value of their time. So why don't we walk them through and kind of show them how to calculate that out, so they know basically how much money they're throwing away with every wasted action. Mm-hmm. So in order to do that, to understand how valuable your time is worth, what you got to do is you got to get very clear on how much money it is you want to make. Okay. And you got to decide, all right, in the next 12 months, I want to make X amount of money. Okay. And so calculate, write down whatever that number is in your head. If it's 100,000, if it's 250,000, if it's 1,000,000, just write that number down. And then you got to decide, you know, how many days a week are you going to work? Like, how many actual days a week are you going to work? Are you going to work 5 days? Are you going to work 6 days? Are you going to work all 7 days? How many days a week are you willing to work? Right. And typically most people have about 100 to 150 days a year that they don't work. And so you got to decide, are you going to be like the normal? Or are you willing to work harder for what you want? You got to make those decisions, but decide how many days a week you want to work. All right. When you've got that, what you're going to do is just divide the dollar amount that you put down in step one by how many days you put down in step two. Okay. And that's going to give you your how much income you have to generate per day in order to reach your revenue goal. And then what you want to do is figure out how many hours a day you're going to work. Are you going to work 6 hours a day? You can work 8 hours a day? You can work 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day? How many hours a day are you physically going to put into your business, right? Once you decide that, you want to divide the dollar amount that you had in step three, so the dollar amount per day, by the hours that you're willing to work. And what you'll end up with is your value per hour. So now you'll understand exactly how much an hour is worth to you. Okay, so anything that is not generating you that revenue per hour, then basically you shouldn't be doing it. So it's important to understand the value, you know, and so little things like cleaning or doing the laundry or going shopping for your food, all of these things you can pay people probably a lot less to do it for you than if you're doing it yourself. And so it's important to get a very clear understanding of what is your time worth per hour so that you can really start to see, you know, what it is you should be doing, what it is you shouldn't be doing, and you can start to take the action steps needed to eliminate the things that is distracting you from generating the revenue that you're supposed to be generating per hour to reach your goal that you set forth for yourself, for your family, so you can provide the lifestyle that you desire. And once you have that number, now you know. There's no screwing around. Now you have your number, and if you're doing something that's not valuable, like if you're liking pictures on Facebook, there's no value attached to that. You're basically wasting your time, and you can see how much money now you're throwing away per hour. So at the end of the day, if you were supposed to work 8 hours and you screwed off for 3 of those hours instead of working, now you know how much you've thrown away because you can multiply those hours by the value that the money you were supposed to generate. And now you've basically just, you've cost yourself, you know, let's say it was $1,000 an hour. You've cost yourself $3,000 because you chose to go like pictures on Facebook. And so you can hold yourself accountable because you have that number. And now you have a very clear picture of what your time is worth.
Now, if it's a picture of someone with a really firm butt, then you may decide that that's worth that time.
I've seen all those pages you like. I don't know if you know, but they show up when it shows you. So your friends have liked your page. Big Brazilian butts again.
It's is like, it like, man. Do you, yes, was it something like The Gap? I think is one of them. Do you squat, bro? It does something.
Yeah, you got a lot of weird pages you'd be liking over there.
Hey, I'm thinking it's worth that. Value per hour. No, I'm just kidding. Something I want to talk about, in fact, about cleaners. I got a cleaner about a year ago for when I moved here, and seriously, my cleaning, awful. Right, I'm very creative. I love being in Photoshop and doing marketing and stuff like that, but cleaning, no. So I got the cleaner in, oh my god, completely changed my life. Like, 4 hours I'll give you some actual data. 4 hours a week, £10 an hour, £50 a week, and for that, you know, she has the whole place spotless, all my cleaning done, she irons my underwear, even my Superman pants, in fact, which are worn on very special occasions. If I was to do that, I mean, the place untidy just causes me stress, so that changes my body's reaction to how I feel about myself. So it's just such a worthwhile investment. But why would we do that ourselves? Well, if you're kind of loving cleaning, then absolutely go for it if it makes you feel good. But if it doesn't, okay, then it's just conditioning, okay? You know, from Your parents passed, you know, we need to do everything ourselves. No, we don't. That's just not true. It's not a success principle. A success principle is to outsource the stuff you're not good at and ask yourself the question, would Richard Branson do that? Okay. Which is a good one. And there's no way I would ever not have a cleaner again.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the cleaner here that we have come here, she only comes once a week because she's actually incredibly good at what she does, and her schedule is packed. But she comes once a week, and the house is just spotless when she leaves. And as many people know, I got two pit bulls that are running around. I got a third mini Staffy on the way.
So three
dogs running around here. So I mean, the house can get pretty messy. She comes, she does everything, you know, take care of everything. It's amazing what she does. And then, you know, we take our laundry to a place that does the laundry for us, and then they fold all the clothes for us. So all I have to do is put them back on the shelves, and that's amazing. And I use a meal prep company to prep my meals, so I don't have to spend time shopping. Because you know, following the bodybuilding diet that I do and having to eat every couple of hours, it's a lot of food prep each week, and it can take up a whole day for me if I do it by, you know, go to the grocery store, and I have to go to several stores to get what I need, and it turns into a full day excursion. Plus you got to cook all the food and stuff like that. So it can take up I was doing it on Sundays before, it'd take up the whole day. So basically I just bought back my Sunday by paying a meal prep company to make the foods. And honestly, it's really not that much more expensive than getting all the ingredients myself and cooking everything. So that's been an amazing thing for me. And just continuing to find things that, you know, in my personal life that can be outsourced has been more of a relief, I would say, than in the business side of stuff. Because I love the business side of stuff. So, you know, even if it's something I could outsource, I don't get stressed if I'm doing it myself. I just know my time could be better spent. Whereas like with the house cleaning and laundry and doing all those things, to me, it's just, it's a pain in the butt and I don't like doing it. And so why not, get rid of that and not have those emotions, like you said, not have that negative feeling or that stress or anything associated to it. And man, it's made such a difference for me. I love it.
A little mind hack, which is a very, very important one, I should add, is that many people don't do it through the cost or that cost that amount. Okay, that's not a success principle. This is what you need to do, and you might want to make note of this. You can't say and think to yourself, it costs this. Okay, I should do it myself. What you have to think of is, what would it take for me to pay for that? Okay, it would take me one client. Right, paying, you know, for example, if it's a cleaner comes in and relieves you of that much stress, and it costs £40 or £50 a week. Okay, that's for most people who are doing pay per session, and we won't go into that on this episode after my last blog. But you know, it's going to cost you one PT session, okay, to relieve all of that stress, which will free you up with loads more time. And so it actually ends up you making more money. Not the other way around, okay? So when you switch your mind from, oh my God, it costs this, to actually it's going to cost me one client to do that, that's when you start to shift things.
Yeah, so basically what we're saying is delegate anything that is not worth your time. Literally, like anything that is not worth your time, delegate. Heck, they even have people who will come to your house and wash your car for you. So if
I have that. I go to a place and these Polish guys do my car for me, and they do a fantastic job.
But you still go there, right? So you're still taking that drive.
But I love driving my car.
Exactly. So it's a good excuse to drive the car. But let's say let's say you're working at a gym and you go there in the morning and you leave at night and you don't have time to go get the car washed, right? Well, guess what? There's people that will come to your business facility. They'll come to the gym and they'll wash your car for you. So even the simplest thing like getting your car washed, you can save yourself time if you're really serious about leveraging. And like I said, once you know the value of that time, and like Simon says, you got to look at it as in, you know, what's it going to take me to afford this? Oh, it's one more client. And if you sell training the way, you know, I teach training, the way Simon teaches training, like you're not going to be charged, you're not going to get $50 a week from someone. You're going to be getting thousands up front from someone, right? So you have a float, like you have the money to do that. And that's the thing, like you guys can't think in terms of, well, I'll do that when I can afford it. You can't afford not to do it. You have to delegate anything that is not worth doing your time, because here's what I've found. Number one, a lot of times it takes longer than you thought in the first place. And number two, on the business side of things, a lot of stuff you try to do yourself, you either end up screwing up or it ends up not working and you have to end up hiring someone anyway. So you might as well save yourself the process and just go right away, say, okay, I don't know a single thing about websites, so I'm going to go hire, you know, our friend Corey Johnson, you know, the guy who builds websites for fitness professionals. I'm going to go hire Corey to build my website for him. I don't care what it costs, because I know whatever it costs, it's cheaper than me trying to do it myself and figure this all out and spend the time and do that. So those are the things that you got to think like. If you want to be successful, if you want to really excel and you want to do it rapidly, you don't want to screw around for the next year. I mean, you want to take charge and you want to move forward quickly. The way to do that is just delegate anything that's just not worth your time.
100%. Yeah, actually, so, I just, before we go on, I want to, before I forget, about the mobile stuff too, we were talking about earlier. When I was in Thailand, I actually lost my phone and I didn't have it for 3 weeks. And I actually really enjoyed that process. Now I've got it back, I'm back into that normal routine again. I actually, the only reason I really need my phone is actually, the only annoying thing was because I used my sat nav on it and it was, I didn't have it when I needed to go somewhere. And I actually did really well without the phone for 3 weeks. And actually, I've tried before, and again, this is my own needing to develop, but I try to remove the Facebook app and then it lasts about a day and then it goes back on there again because I want to post a photo of me like drinking a smoothie or something. And so I think like if you think about it, like you could probably do without the Facebook app and just use the messenger thing, right, which is so you get the messages, but then you need it for other stuff.
I actually just removed the Facebook app from my phone yesterday, so we'll see how long that lasts.
I give that minutes, frankly,
because honestly what happens a lot for me is when I go to the restroom, I get on the Facebook and an hour later I come out of the restroom and you know, my partner's saying, "Are you okay in there?" So I gotta get rid of this. And I keep saying I'm gonna switch to a flip phone too. But it's funny you said something that made me think. Yeah, there's a lot of excuses to keep a smartphone, right? My sat nav, for instance. Well, guess what? You know, they make sat navs that could go in the car, so you don't need your phone for maps, right? Facebook, you can upload images from your computer, so you could send yourself the picture and you could upload it when you know if you're going to continue on Facebook, maybe you have 30 minutes a day that you get on Facebook or something like that. So we create excuses. Like I have Instagram on my phone still because I have yet to find a way, and maybe I'm just overlooking something, but I'm pretty sure you can't do anything on Instagram apart from like pictures on the desktop. You have to upload images from the phone. So I've kept that because I've been active on Instagram now for a while and kind of have a little following on that. So I'm like, oh, well, if I don't have that, then I, you know, all this work I put in will be wasted essentially, right? And so we create all these excuses why we need to keep our phones because of the apps that we have on there, or I use it for my camera, or I make my videos with it. Well, the iPod is exactly the same as the phone. It just doesn't have the phone on it. So if you want pictures and you want videos, you could use that, right? And connect to a Wi-Fi, upload to your email, and then you could do it from the computer. So there's a way around everything. But isn't it interesting how, as humans, we find justifications in order to keep the things that honestly keep us from what we truly want, the excuses that we'll make to justify our terrible habits.
Yeah, pull out your iPhone now and message us if you think it's you agree with us. No, yeah. Actually, one app I need to get rid of in all seriousness is Tinder. You know why?
Meeting too many guys on there.
Fuck you. Not getting any matches. No matches.
You're not liking enough. I've heard the secret, and this is from a 16-year-old at the Underground event. For those that don't know, I used to run a big marketing event called the Underground Online Seminar with Yannick Silver. And each year we brought in young entrepreneurs. We scholarshiped in young entrepreneurs to come to the event. And our last event was New Orleans. And it was the last Underground that we'd done. We did 10 years of that, and then we ended, and then we've ended it now. But one of the guys there was 16-year-olds. He actually was paid by Google to not go to school. He's an app developer. And Google was paying him to develop app for Google's glasses, which I don't know what he's doing now, as I'm pretty sure they've discontinued Google glasses as it was a terrible idea. But anyway, this guy...
I thought they looked really fashionable.
So Simon, you're going to love this. So this guy used Tinder, right? But he didn't go on Tinder himself. He outsourced it. He had an assistant who would like every single woman on Tinder, whatever city he was in, would like every single girl. And then basically... like then there would be matches, and then he would message the matches and ask them if they wanted to go on a date. Oh, and every city, every place he went, he had a date, sometimes two or three dates every single day. And he was outsourcing Tinder. He had his assistant going and just liking everyone, so he didn't have to do it.
I'm doing that. That's happening as soon as I jump off this podcast. My assistant Anne, who's fantastic, by the way, shout out to Anne, love you lots, is going to be doing that for me. San Diego, and then... oh my goodness me. They should have some dating for personal trainers, don't you think so? We call it the Fitpreneur dating app.
I think bodybuilding.com already has something like that, believe it or not. I bet you there's a CrossFit one too now.
Oh, of course there is a CrossFit one. I think there is definitely a CrossFit one.
Definitely. Let's give some rules for delegation, because I think that a lot of people, when they've tried to outsource stuff, fail miserably because they don't quite understand how to do it successfully. We've got about 7 rules here. Let's share those with the listeners.
Delegate your delegation to someone who can delegate. Done. See you next episode. No.
All right, I'll start.
Go on.
Number one. So first of all, you got to actually define what is to be done. So a lot of people talk about systems, right? So if you're outsourcing something, you need to have you need to be able to explain to the person exactly what it is you want to outsource. So when you hire a cleaner, for instance, like not all cleaners do everything. So not all cleaners do laundry. Not all cleaners do the dishes. Not all cleaners, will do the windows inside and out. So you have to define what it is you want to get done. And be clear and let them know. And so if you've created a checklist or you have a list of things you want to be done, best to have that before you start delegating.
What was that? Was that number one or number two?
That was number one.
Okay. Number two, be certain to delegate. Be certain the delegatee understands what it is to be done. That wasn't that just what you explained?
Well, what this means is that
AJ, these notes, do you need to sort this out?
When you share, when you go to delegate and you give them the list, you want to make sure they understand what you're asking of them.
Oh yes.
Right? You want to make sure they actually understand the task that's being given to them, that they understand what it is you expect, what your expectations are, and you want them to really be clear on that and be able to repeat back to you. And yes, it does sound like you're talking to a child. Don't treat them like that, but what I mean in the process, but you have to be that rigid. Otherwise, a lot of times, if you give someone an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yes. Number three, explain why it is to be done as you're prescribing it to be done.
Yeah. So
I don't get these notes.
Well, that's why you're no good at delegating. Yeah. So the person, when you're telling someone to do something, it's best to explain to them why it is you want it done this way, right? So a lot of the times, people have their own ideas on how they should do something. And if you want it done a certain way, you got to make sure that they understand the importance of getting it done in that way and in the order that you want to get it done. So let's say if you were delegating opening your gym in the morning, like you decided you don't want to work at 5 a.m., you're going to have someone else come in and open the gym. And so you're delegating that task. Right. And the checklist is first things first is to unlock the front door. Second thing is to turn on the lights. Third thing is to unlock the back door. So you have a sequence of events that they go through. Now, if they decide to come in and change up that sequence, what will happen is oftentimes things will get missed, or the order of the sequence is, if they walked in the front door, didn't turn the lights on, and then went to the back door to open the back door. Let's say someone had left a kettlebell out. in the middle of the room. They didn't see it. And they trip, they fall, they cut themselves on the corner of a jump box or something like that. There's a reason you have your the order in which you're asking them to do something, or the way in which you want your clothes put away in the closet, for instance. If you like all your colors where you have blacks on one shelf, reds on another shelf, like these are things, you know, these are things to, important to you, but they may not be important to the person that you're sharing it with. So, you know, that's essentially, you know, explaining to them why it is. And then number four is to teach them how it is to be done. Not micromanaged, but show them, walk them through, do a demo run, show them what you expect of them. So they're very clear. Basically, the more clarity you can give the person you're delegating to, the better. Some people are very capable of just taking a task off your hands and going and doing it themselves. But in my experience, especially when you're new to delegating and you haven't delegated much, usually you get very frustrated because what happens is the person doesn't do it right. And you go back to that mindset of, I should just do this myself. I would get it done quicker. I'd be easier. I wouldn't have this stress. So it's very important to be structured with your delegation in the beginning, because otherwise, you know, they'll screw it up and you'll end up firing them and thinking it's a waste of money and probably not hiring another person and end up doing it yourself again. You'll be back to square one, back to that frustration that you started with. So, you know, teach them how it's supposed to be done. Number five, be sure to be sure that they understand the how-to process. So understand each step, understand what needs to be done, how it needs to be done. Just confirm with them that they understand. You know, set deadlines. So if your cleaner's coming in, you know, pay them for a certain amount of hours and they'll get them done. If you're delegating a work task, make sure they understand what the deadline is. When do you expect it done? When do you expect it back in your hands? You know, and then just make sure there's an agreement to when that's going to be done. What day they're going to show up? You know, what days they're going to work? What times they're going to work, how they're going to be contacted. Just make sure you have an agreement in place. So it's very clear on both parties, so there's no misunderstanding. A lot of the times, verbally, you can agree on something, and then things go haywire, and the person says, well, you never said that, or that's not how I understood it. So basically, with your delegation, you have to be very clear on what it is that you want from the person, and really make sure they understand what you expect from them.
The goal of this, really, guys, is also to, a lot of it, the reason why people don't delegate stuff and outsource stuff is because they want ownership. And so if you can go from the mindset of trying to keep it for yourself to how could I get someone better than me to do this, right? Like, how there's lots of people who are actually better than us at doing stuff, but if we can actually train them and actually go through this awesome process that AJ is sharing, you know, you'll have probably someone that does it more efficient at you, is more cost effective than doing it than you, and the outcome is actually better. But it's all about training. This is all about this. All of these steps are about making sure that someone does it right. You know, me and my assistant, for example, if something goes wrong in the business, we go, right, okay, how can we improve on that? It's actually a system problem. It wasn't their fault. It's actually my lack of ability to train them in that process.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, a lot of people say they need systems, but honestly, if you're doing everything yourself, you don't really need a system because you know what you're doing and you know how to do it, right? You only need systems when you start to give those tasks to other people, because you don't want to have to go through and explain to every single person that's ever going to learn how to do that, you know, one-to-one. So you create a system to basically get whatever's in your mind out so that they can go through. And if they don't have a system to follow, then they can easily make mistakes and screw up, and you don't have anything to fall back on and say, look, like, it's all outlined in the system. Go back through, read what's expected of you, read how it's expected to be done, you know, and then come back to me with any questions that you have. You know, you're not able to do that if every single time you're teaching this, you have to personally teach it to a person one-to-one. So you definitely want to, you know, it's where it comes in. You can listen to a systems episode when we talk about systemizing your business to start getting that up and running. But, you know, that's really all a system is just a process of how to get a task done. And you just, you know, want to be able to use that and treat the people that you're hiring or delegating to, treat them as if they don't know anything about the subject, so that nothing can get missed. Because a lot of the times, that's what causes the frustration in outsourcing, delegating, or hiring, is that the other person, you expected them to know something, and they had no clue. So, you know, you got to treat them as if they've never done that before. You know, because that way you give your expectations and what you want. And for some people, they might find it a little tedious and maybe even annoying. But you know what? At the end of the day, it'll get done how you want it, and it will save both of you a lot of headaches moving forward.
Yep.
Well, that's it for the delegation.
Oh, okay. Next one, eliminating time vampires. I want to dive in with this one and actually go back to the subject of maybe friends or family that aren't serving you. Your support network and your peer group is very important to you. So you could probably find yourself that you're being dragged left, right, and center, or you know, being put in front of things or influenced by some people that really shouldn't be involved in your lifestyle if you really want to be a true fitpreneur, which is being a business owner as opposed to being just a trainer. If you want to grow, you've got to be around those that are radiating you, not draining you. And so a lot of the time, vampires can sometimes, in my experience, many times, actually be people themselves.
I agree. You know, the thing with friends and family is that as you grow, if they're in the same place still, they don't understand how valuable your time becomes. And I used to, you know, before I was insanely busy traveling, you know, doing working on a million different projects and working with, you know, lots of different people on their marketing and building, you know, helping them build their businesses. Like, I used to think to myself, man, why is it so hard to get a hold of this person? Or why won't this person just meet me for a coffee? Or, you know, you have this mindset because where you're not busy, you assume that, like, they're busy is just, you know, their choice to be busy. And what happens is as your business grows, what you find is you do have less and less time for the things that aren't important to you. So obviously business is important, and you know, your wife, if you've married, your wife, your husband, if you have children, your kids, like, these are all things that take top priority. And so, you know, if you're putting in a 10-hour, 12-hour workday, right, you're a hustler and you're just grinding and putting that in because you love what you do. So it's not really work, right? You love it. And then you want to go home and you want to spend that time with your family. Like, you don't want to have to take a phone call. You don't want to have to go to dinner with people who just want to catch up. One of my early mentors, he said he used to schedule his friends in his calendar. So like, if a friend wanted to, you know, go to dinner, they had to go through the same process as anybody else and schedule the time with him in order to have that. And it had to be for, like, it was set for an hour so they would meet, and it was, you know, and so you have to become more on top of your schedule. And to do that, you have to eliminate those people that just suck your time dry, right? And you all have probably experienced that. A friend is in town or someone is visiting and they say, hey, I'd love to take you to lunch. And so you go to lunch and, you know, the lunch ends up being 4 or 5 hours because you just, the conversation goes on. There's other people there that you didn't expect to be there. And so essentially, you know, nothing comes of that meeting for you. There's no business that's transacted. There's no, relationship, close relationships with Bill, because that person's going to go off and you're not going to see him again for 6 years or something like that. But these things happen and they cause interruptions and distractions from what it is that we're supposed to be focused on. And yeah, they feel good. Like, it's great catching up with people. I'm not saying not to catch up with people, but it has to be scheduled. You can go and you can, you know, meet someone for coffee versus having a lunch. That way you can be in and out, you know, because you have another appointment that you have to go to. And so there's ways that you can leverage that. But, you know, you all have those people. And same with clients. If you know, clients are blowing you up constantly through text message and you're checking your phone to respond to them versus working on, let's say, you know, a new article for your website or working on a promotion that you're doing to put out in the gym. Like, that client is taking up way too much of your time and they're not paying you for that extra service. And so and you can create a level, you could, you know, where they could offer that, or you can choose to respond at a certain point of the day. But, you know, the people who just basically suck your time dry, like, you want to be acknowledge who those people are. You want to put things in place to control that. You know, and simple thing is just scheduling phone calls. You know, if someone's like, I'd love to meet up to discuss this, you say, well, great, let's get on a call first and see if there's any way, you know, if it makes sense to meet up, right? And so it's just about controlling your schedule and controlling the amounts of availability that you give to people who are not going to, you know, move you closer to what it is that you're seeking.
What are the biggest skills that you will learn when you develop as an entrepreneur is to the ability to say no. You know, I get asked a lot, people want to work with me who aren't in the niche that I'm in. And if I was to say yes, it would distract me from my true mission and purpose. And so have a think about that too. Just have a think about how many times you're saying yes to things that really you should be saying no to. It's really important, I think, just to, now that you're aware of this and awareness is the key, is to start just, you know, grab a piece of paper and have a think about today and think about, you know, if you're listening to this in the evening or tomorrow morning, if you're, you know, the other way around. That made no sense. Just make a list of the distractions that you've had throughout the day and then decide on things that you can do to alter them. Also, another thing too is being time efficient. You know, if I want to listen to a motivational audio because it's going to educate me, then instead of listening to that to an hour where I'm sat doing just that, I'm going to use my, for example, tomorrow morning, I am going for skiing lessons. I'm going to Canada Whistler at the start of next month with Tony Robbins, and I'm going to be traveling for 2 hours to get there. So I want to be listening to some audios, and so I'm going to be doing that in the car instead of listening to music. So it's just about linking things together so you're more efficient.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is the awareness of your time and then the planning. Okay, so what we're going to talk about now is really, you know, how to focus on what's important and three big questions to ask yourself. You know, anytime you're doing anything that may not be, you know, worth your time. And so the first question you want to ask yourself is, does this clearly move me measurably closer to my goal? So is this task that I'm doing going to move me closer to my income goal, my fitness goal, my financial goal, my family goal? You know, is it moving me measurably? Can I measure that? Or is it just a hope, a whim, a wish? And we have no way to track and confirm that this is actually valuable for us to be doing. So that's the first question to ask yourself.
The second question to ask yourself is, am I engaged because this is beneficial and I can't even speak today. What's going on? Beneficial and profitable to me. Okay, so is this going to benefit my business, and is it going to be profitable to me? You've got to ask that question too.
And then lastly, because it's not always going to be about profits or being able to measure, but is what I'm doing making me better? So is it making me a better businessman? Is it making me a better trainer? Is it making me a better husband or wife? Is it making me a better parent? Is it improving my self-development? You know, is what you're doing moving you forward in life as a person? Are you growing from the activity you're doing, or are you just wasting time? You know, scrolling the newsfeed on Facebook, on Instagram, you know, scrolling through tweets and reading them, none of that is improving your life in any way, shape, or form. You're not getting better from that. You're basically just filling a void of boredom and looking for entertainment. And so that's another question to ask yourself. And if you ask yourself those three questions consistently, you'll find that you'll start to eliminate a lot of the things that distract you from your ultimate goal in life.
I think fun time is very important, but if you're spending 2 hours a day on playing video games and you're wondering why your business revenue hasn't increased in the past 3 months, there's a good number of hours there per week where you could be marketing your business. So you have to get brutally honest with yourself. Also, this takes some doing. So you have to have a hard look at the actions you're taking. And like AJ says, you know, it's all about a stimulant. There's sometimes a stimulant for and the way something, how it makes you feel, to distract you from the true outcome and the thing you want to do. So you've got to call BS on yourself and go, look, seriously, I'm doing this all week, but actually I want to be like here. And if you're happy where you are, that's cool. Play video games you know, 2 hours a day and waste all that time throughout the week. But at the same time, you know, you're probably on these episodes because you want to be a fitpreneur, and a fitpreneur is someone who wants to not just be a trainer or a coach, but really is wanting to be a real business owner and actually, you know, scale and grow revenue in order for you, so that you guys can have freedom and a lifestyle that you really want. And so you have to make sacrifices. You know, both me and AJ, we are where we are today because we've made sacrifices. I don't watch TV. I go to the cinema probably maybe once every 2 weeks. But that's really because I need to get away from work. And so I think there's a big difference here in the shift of doing something fun to take me away because I need time to refresh and recharge versus most people doing all the fun stuff, but them having to drag their ass to do the business skill stuff.
Yeah, I think that was important to point out, because I in no means are we saying you can't do anything but work. But you know, you gotta understand that some things move you forward. Some things regenerate you and give you the energy and the passion that you need in order to move forward. And then most things that people are doing, and these are the things you want to eliminate, they're actually draining you, right? And I don't know about you, Simon, but I get very stressed when I realize that I'm in a loop, when I realize that I've just wasted 40 minutes. I get very worked up with myself about the process that I've gone through, because I understand the value that I can bring. I understand the value of the time that I've wasted. And so when I put those two things together, I realize that, man, I've really just screwed myself over, and I've screwed the people over that I'm supposed to be helping by allowing myself to slip here and by doing this stuff. And I mean, I don't beat myself up too much, but in that moment, like, you know, it's like a frustration, and then I snap out of it and I get right back to work. But it is, it mentally kind of jolts me, like, and it creates this uncomfortable feeling, because I know I could have been spending that time doing something else.
Yeah. And these, you know, these are all skills that we're all developing. It's just some have them more developed than others. So don't think that, guys, we're not going through the same things as you, because inevitably, you know, they are. It's just to a different degree. So, yeah. Next one is the weekly challenge. But before we go on to that, please head to iTunes to give us that 5-star review, obviously, and to put your feedback in there. We would love to hear from you. If you're enjoying the episodes and you're getting a lot from them, if you're a new listener, we would love for you to listen to the past episodes. In fact, I was talking to someone only a few hours ago, and I was explaining the value of the content in the episodes. You want to be listening to these episodes like you've just paid $1,000 for them, all right? And if you action the stuff that we teach you in covering all the different areas, and you implement, you will get a lot of benefit for them. So please do that. And we also want to hear your feedback too, as always. But the weekly challenge this week is, we want you to take control of your calendar, not it be in control of you. And actually, you know, I use iCal, for example, so I've got all my things linked up together. Yes, going back to the iPhone again. But really schedule stuff in. If it's not scheduled, it's not happening. And so if you make a habit of scheduling in even the smallest of things, like going to the bank and doing all of this stuff, and I do that now, I just know that it's happening. You know, every morning now I have this routine, and part of that routine is me writing down exactly what's going to happen as the day goes on, and I need to tick those things off. Also, guys, another little tip for you is, just make a list of 5 things that if you did these 5 things today, if I did those 5 things, I'd feel great. Okay, and just make them simple things. Okay, there may be a couple of business things on there. There may be a couple of you know, it might be a fitness based one, and you know, just getting up in the morning and the meditating, for example, might be one of them. But you know, what we don't want you to do is get to the end of the day and feel drained and sad because you've not achieved things. So make it easy for you to feel good, but also build within that list and structure your day so that it's in your calendar. And that's what I do to help me.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned something earlier, which I think that they should do as well this week, apart from taking control of your calendar, but also take note of all the times that you are distracted, take note of all the things that do pull you away. The more awareness you can bring to your habits, the better, and you can start to put in things like your morning ritual to avoid doing the bad habit. So one of the big reasons that the morning rituals work so well is typically when you wake up, you'll grab your phone and you'll look at it. And like Simon said, you'll start emailing people back, or maybe you scroll the news feed looking for something to entertain you. And it'll be an hour before you get up and out of bed. If you have a routine where you get up, you don't check your phone, you get up, the first thing you do is listen to some motivational thing, you know, brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, go to the gym, like you have this routine, it breaks the habit of getting stuck in these loops. It breaks the habit of wasting the time. And so if you can be aware of those habits, those bad habits, then you can start to put things into place and take control of your calendar, because now you know what you're up against. Now you know what you're fighting against. Now you know what it is that is holding you back. And so you can actually create your calendar and schedule things that will allow you to combat essentially the things that are holding you back from, you know, the freedom of your own time.
Yeah, another little trick you can do too is when you get up in the morning and you're just laying in bed, tomorrow morning, do this. Wake up and then notice the thoughts that start to come in your head and what you're being told to do. Okay, I need to get up and go and check this, or I need to, you know, I want to stay in bed and not train, for example, might be one of them. Many of you listening probably have a habit now where you're probably getting up early and you're into this routine. But if it's a routine that's not serving you right now, and you could actually sculpt a new routine for yourself, just sit there and be aware of and notice the thoughts, and then go, I've got you, right? I know what's happening now. And once then you can start to change your patterns, because you can go against them. The easiest thing to do is be pulled towards something which isn't serving us. But if we can be aware of it and force against it, okay, and implement a new routine, which is going to take a good month to put into habit, you know, then that's how you start to train your brain. And really, success is about brain training, really is.
Cool. Let's move on to the quote of the week.
This quote is by Victor Hugo. And he says, he who every morning plans the transaction of the day and follows out that plan carries a thread that will guide him through the maze of the most busy life. But where no plan is laid, where the disposal of time is surrendered merely to the chance of indecision, chaos will soon reign.
Boom. It's a great quote. It's a great quote. I often say, like, a lot of people think that that scheduling and that time blocking and you know, working to a structure is confining, and that, you know, that they'll lose their freedom. And actually, what you find is the people who have the most freedom, the people who have the what seems like the most spontaneity, are the people who are in control of their time the most, the people who have the most structure, because they plan days off. They plan time to be able to go and not worry about work, not, you know, because everything is so structured. They can plan a week off and actually have a week off versus taking the computer with them and having to work. And so oftentimes freedom comes from structure, not from chaos.
Freedom! Freedom!
I'm picturing you right now with the makeup on the horse. They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom.
Really, actually, in all seriousness, that's what everyone's going for, you know, especially, in fact, everybody. That's what we want. We want freedom. We want to do what we want when we want. And this Fitpreneur journey, the reason why we do these podcasts to help you guys, is for you to get closer to that. So, guys, we hope you have enjoyed the episode. Once again, connect with us, facebook.com/fitpreneurs, thefitpreneurs.com. Also, personally, with me and AJ, facebook.com/boylovell or facebook.com/AJRoberts. Come and say hi. We'd love to connect with you.
We'll talk to you next time
on another episode of Freedompreneurs.
Guys, thanks for the killer episode.
Listen, if you want to take your fitness business to the next level, terminate your competition, create ultimate freedom, buy new houses, cars, which could blow up, travel the world, or open your own gym where you can lift really heavy weights, then head to www.thefitpreneurs.com/freecall for details on how to apply for your free accelerator call. Until the next episode, hasta la vista, Fit Pros.